For Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Hi FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Yes, it's all about the food. Welcome to the Essen Fressen Show, and I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, coming to you live from our studios in Johannesburg and feeling rather damp. And funnily enough, rather like feeling like comfort food than what I normally eat over December, and that's a lovely big salad. So, but what can we do? So, well, actually, this morning, I do apologize to my engineer, who I actually have to thank, Craig, because I always forget to thank you after my show. So, this is like a very big thank you to Craig. And Kathy always says, she always knows when I'm in the studio, because she can smell in the lift my perfume. When I come into the studio, you can smell my perfume. I love perfume. I always like to smell nice. But today, sorry, Craig, I'm a smell of chicken soup like you've never. I've made a beautiful pot of chicken soup. Everybody has had this damn bug. So, made a nice big pot and the whole family can get well again. So, I've had a few days to read and catch up on things. And I always find it quite difficult. You log on to the same sort of pages, the same food pages on Facebook, and follow the same people and get ideas from them. But, I was gifted the most incredible book, and it's called Foodies of South Africa, Top 100. I don't know if you've seen it in the bookstores, okay, but it's a big yellow hardcovered book by Quiver Tree. And I was looking online, and then they sent me the book. And it's actually the most wonderful, wonderful idea. So what they've done is, I tried to actually get somebody on the show to talk about, you know, how they got the whole thing going. But from what I can understand is they have a site called, Foodies of South Africa. And, this book is actually a selection of 100 of Foodies of South Africa's best loved and most shared recipes for 2018-2019. From two ingredient dough. I mean, just imagine just self-raising flour and yogurt. Three ingredient cheesecake. I'll give you that recipe just now. And you've probably seen some of the recipes. You know, some of them have come up on Facebook and on social media, and you know, they just sort of pop up. But this is a collection of all the recipes that have been shared thousands and thousands and thousands of times. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go through this book and see if I can find some lovely breakfast recipes, holiday recipes, let's all sit around the table and eat together recipes, and Hanukkah recipes. So straight after this ad break, we're going to get stuck into all these lovely South African recipes.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 Hi FM.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we are talking Foodies of South Africa. Wonderful book, it's written by everybody, because it's, what you do is you contribute recipes towards the site, Foodies of South Africa site. And it's actually on Facebook. And, Chantel Buerta, Julie Brown, Haley Murison actually put the whole thing together. And the pictures, I think his name's Craig Fraser, he did the pictures. It's just a beautiful book. And there's a picture for every recipe. But as I say, you know what? I always judge a book by how many pieces of white paper I put in, I slot in that I want to share with the audience. Well, I think I could have put in a piece of paper for every single recipe here. But if you go onto the website or you go onto Facebook, you'll find a lot of their recipes. And join in and share some of yours. Share your cultural recipes. Share your recipes for pierog and knedlach. They want lots of different recipes. And who knows, maybe you'll be in their next book. Okay, but before I start sharing some of those recipes, I was actually having a chat to a friend of mine last night because we were thinking, oh, what can we make for the two of us? You know, the kids are either on holiday or they're already grown up, as in my case, and out of home. But we still got to eat. And I said to her, what has happened to haddock? I remember as a child having it with mashed potato and a thick white cheesy sauce with bits of parsley in the sauce. Or, I remember if there was any left over, my mother used to make a fish pie with the sauce and serve it on mashed potato as well. And, you know, when I went to America last year sometime, my sister-in-law got me cod because she knows how much I love cod. But you can also get it in London, but we never get it here. I mean, it's a beautiful saltwater fish and haddock is part of the true cod family. But here we just unfortunately get smoked hake. Anyway, so the two of us decided, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring hake, make a hake hip again. That's right. So what I did was how to make this delicious, dare I say it, I know very often associated with hospital food, but the way we're going to do it is most definitely not. It doesn't look like hospital food at all. It's lovely and brown on top. Okay, so what we did was I got some haddock. I think it was about 400 or 500 grams. And it really does, it's about 60 or 70 grams for the haddock or the smoked hake or whatever they call it. And you must get the one with the skin on the back. That's the kosher one. And then what I did was I placed it into a frying pan and I covered it with, I placed all three or four pieces of cod, haddock into the frying pan with half a cup of oil, but a little bit more milk sort of so that it's halfway up the fish. And I boiled it until it was soft. But before I even started frying the haddock, I made some mashed potato, obviously, which is quite easy to do. You just boil up your mash in either milk or water. I like to cut it into small cubes. It makes it a lot easier to mash with the mash. Don't forget, you cannot use a blender or food processor to make mashed potato because it's got it goes like all glutinous and goes like sticky and horrible. You have to use a masher and hand mash it beautifully with a blob of butter in it and set that aside. But in the meantime, what we did was we placed the haddock in the pan, as I said, with a little bit of milk, and we cooked it for about 10, 15 minutes until most of the milk cooked out. Didn't cover it. Left it open. And then I've just got a message from somebody. Okay, Karen, I'll tell you how to cook tilapia just now. Back to the haddock. Okay, so then what I did was I also added a tablespoon of butter to the milk. So when I heard the butter started to crackle the bottom of the fish, that's when you realize, okay, the fish is ready. Put this fish aside, flaked it, took it off the skin, and then I added another tablespoon of butter to the frying pan, 2 tablespoons of flour, mix it together, 1 cup of milk, you may need a little bit more milk depending on how thick you like your white sauce. Then I added 1 cup of grated cheddar cheese, and added the fish back and then served it on the fluffy mashed potato. Now, tilapia, funnily enough, I got this message about the tilapia. It First time I ever had it was a few years ago in America on a braai. And I said to my brother-in-law, oh, this fish is sensational. Nearly as good as salmon, nearly as good as cod, but just tilapia. In the meantime, tilapia is quite freely and easily available here in South Africa. I think it's from the Zambezi River or something. But it's a lovely fish. And you can cook it as you would. It's quite a thinnish fish, so you can get them to debone it for you, or you cook it like a sole, or you cook it in pieces, and you would cook it like you would cook your normal fish. That's how I did it. In fact, one better was I got a little bit of Cajun spice. Put a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of butter, and you just spice up the tilapia. And you fry it in the Cajun, spice it with the Cajun spice and fry it in the olive oil and butter and until it's on, make it quite hot, but not too hot that the butter burns. That's why we actually add a little bit of olive oil. And then just, and then take it off the frying pan, just as you're about to serve it, just squeeze a little bit of lemon juice on top of it. And that is really a simple, easy way to make tilapia. So let's get stuck into this book because it's a lovely, oh, by the way, before I carry on, let me give you our studio number. It is 010-140, my eyesight is getting really bad, I better go and have it checked out. 010-140-3020. You can also telegram us on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519. Tell us what you're doing these holidays because I'm battling, you know how I love braaiing and it's just such damp weather to go outside and braai a piece of meat that we seem to be having comfort food more often. So now I'm going to be sharing a lovely puff pastry breakfast pizza with you straight after the break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I was telling you about this wonderful book that I was gifted called Foodies of South Africa, where people have given their recipes to on Facebook to and share their recipes on South African foods, and these are the top 100 most popular. So all the names of the people that have contributed on the front of the book, and if you can start contributing some to them on Facebook, Foodies of South Africa, maybe you can be in their book soon. So we're talking about puff pastry breakfast pizza, and I love sitting down to a beautiful, especially on holiday when everybody's more relaxed and chilled, sit down to a wonderful breakfast with your children and your family. And this is a crispy puff pastry base. Okay, so if you're going away, all you need really is one of those aluminium foil lids, you know, that go into those containers, or you can use aluminium foil flat baking tray, and your favorite breakfast ingredients. So it's super simple. It's a breakfast pizza and it's yum. Okay. So I decided let's keep this one milchig because, it's all different cheeses and of that lovely advert from Mr. Finkelstein. I think it's the same Finkelstein that goes to my shul, but I'm not quite sure. Anyway, so roll out the puff pastry onto a baking sheet lined with baking paper. Fold over a small edge on each side. fold over a small edge on each side of the pastry to create an edge for the crust and seal it. Press it down with a fork. Right. So now what you will need is obviously a roll of puff pastry, 1 cup of cream cheese, 1 can of Kuhbaked beans and tomato soup. If you want to, and you want to make it a little more savory and fishy, you can use some anchovy paste. I'll tell you where to put that in. You'll need 2 cups of grated cheddar cheese, 4 eggs, or however many people you're having for breakfast, salt and pepper, and chopped spring onions. Okay, so we've done our puff pastry. Then what we do is we spread cream cheese over the pastry, followed by, at this point, you can use the optional anchovy paste. It just, I don't know, it just somehow worked so well with baked beans, but some people don't like a fishy taste. So then you just put the baked beans on, followed by the grated cheese, the cheddar cheese, and then using a spoon, make 4 or 5 indentations into the pizza, because this is where you're going to actually put your eggs. You put it into a preheated oven, okay, and you crack it and bake it for about 15 minutes, they say. Okay, so it's a preheated oven, 180 degrees C, and you bake it for about 15 minutes. Then you take it out and you can add a little bit of feta on top of the cheese, and then you crack an egg into each indent, and then you carry on baking the pizza for about another 10-15 minutes until it's lovely and, you know, until it's your sort of temperature, your softness for the egg, and then remove it from the oven, sprinkle it with some spring onions if you want, or some parsley, and serve it with a little bit of salt and pepper. Don't put too much salt on though if you have put anchovy paste on. Okay, another lovely breakfast idea that they have suggested, and it is called a sheet pan omelette roll. Okay, so what it is simple ingredients with an impressive look all rolled into one. Now, apparently they disappear very fast, so they've presented it beautifully on a wooden board with a piece of brown paper. And what you'll need for it is 8 large eggs, 1/2 cup of milk. They say Aromat. It's not kosher, but you can get that naturally tasty seasoning at the moment, which is kosher. If you can't get it, just use a bit of salt and pepper. But you can get the natural tasty spicing from Woolworths, I think it is. You'll need a little bit of butter for greasing, 6 tablespoons of cream cheese, 1 cup of baby spinach, and 1 cup of cheddar cheese grated. And if you want to, you can put in your favorite kinds of cheeses like feta. You can put in parmesan, whatever you feel like. So you preheat the oven to about 175 and you whisk the eggs, the milk, and the Aromat, or the naturally tasting spice, the kosher one, and you whisk it very, very well. Then you line a baking tray with baking paper and make sure the sides hang over to prevent the egg from overflowing. Grease the baking paper lightly with butter. Pour in the egg mixture and tuck the baking paper into the corners to make sure that the liquid covers the base of the tray. Just one little tip that I have to add in here, because that's what I do. I always strain my eggs. And once you've done it once, you will never not strain your eggs again when you see what's left behind. But anyway, okay, so then we bake it for about 15 to 17 minutes until the surface of the egg is firm to the touch. Remove the tray from the oven. Carefully spread the cream cheese over the omelette, followed by a layer of spinach leaves. Top with grated cheese, sprinkle with a little bit of spicing again before popping it back into the oven for about 2 to 3 minutes, or until the cheese is melted. Gently pull up one side of the baking paper and start rolling the omelette up, peeling the paper off as you go, like a Swiss roll. And when you finish, position the roll open edge down to prevent it from unrolling. You can secure it with a toothpick if you want. And then you season it again, and you just put a little bit of cheese on top, grated cheese, and it's delicious. Now, you don't cook the the baby spinach. Check it and wash it well. Just one cup is enough. But make sure that when you put the spinach on that it sort of doesn't really overlap because you want the spinach to cook with the cheese. Okay, so after this next song, we're going to come back with a few Chanukah ideas.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and we are talking Chanukah and all sorts of nice dishes to make during the holidays that are simple, easy enough to clean up and not so much mess and one pan dishes. And actually I got an SMS to say, what about mushrooms, in that omelette that I gave you, the, what was it called? The one pan omelette. I've got to try and find that omelette recipe again. Anyway, yes, it's called the sheet pan omelette roll. And they said, can we add mushrooms? Of course we can. And fried peppers. I would definitely fry the peppers because they may be a bit too hard if they're raw. Slice them really thin and actually stick them in the microwave for a minute or two until they soften up. Add whatever you want because it really is delicious. I'll keep the kids going until about lunchtime. Anyway, so you can, talking about mushrooms, thank you for that, Linda. Crumbed mushrooms from this book is a lovely recipe, a 5-star finger food, perfect for just about any occasion. Okay, so what we need for this is 1 to 1.5 cups of white bread crumbs. You can actually get the panko crumbs, or you can use the cornflake crumbs for those who can't eat bread. Salt and pepper to taste. 250 grams of button mushrooms. I would actually double up on this recipe because you can actually freeze it. And then, you know, so often during the holidays, you have people over and, you know, you want to just give them a little bit of nashla rice, so you can take this out and quickly fry it for them. I would double up. It says 250 grams, button mushrooms. Get a bit more. It says 1/2 cup. I'm going to give you their recipe and you can decide whether you want to double up or not. Okay. So it was 1 to 1.5 cups of the breadcrumbs, salt and pepper to taste, 250 grams of button mushrooms, 1/2 cup of self-raising flour, 2 large eggs beaten, oil for frying, 1 tablespoon of fresh parsley for garnishing, and some tartar sauce for serving. Okay, so what we do is we mix the breadcrumbs together with the seasoning, salt and pepper, and whatever else you feel like that you have a mouthful. If you want to put a little bit of thyme in it, 1/2 teaspoon of thyme into the mixture, you can. If you want to put, season it with a little bit of peri-peri, do that. You know, whatever you have a mouthful. I always say, cook the way your family enjoy food. So place the, dip each mushroom into the flour, then the egg, and finally the breadcrumbs to coat, and repeat the process a second time. Place the crumbed mushrooms on a baking tray and chill in the fridge for 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. Now this is where I say I like to double up, because what I do is I put it into the freezer and then obviously on a flat tray, not touching each other, because if they touch each other, they'll stick to each other and then the batter will fall off. So I just stick it in the freezer, or if you want to use it that day or the next day, put it in the fridge. And then you fry the mushrooms in hot oil for about 3 to 5 minutes, or until cooked through and golden brown. Now remember that if you did freeze them, then I would take them out, let them defrost, and just sprinkle a little bit more cornflake mixture onto the mushrooms and then fry them. And then you place the mushrooms on a sheet of paper towel to drain the excess oil. Sprinkle it with chopped parsley, and then just serve it with a tartar sauce of side. And it's as simple as that. And there you have a lovely Hanukkah dish because we are frying it in a little bit of oil. But I was actually talking about, you know, when people pop in and just, this is all stuff that you can have ready in your fridge, in your cupboard, in your pantry, wherever. Just take it out and make it. And this is called a fully loaded sheet pan of chicken nachos, but I changed it for obvious reasons to tuna nachos. They're easy to make, they're fun to eat, and these nachos are a guaranteed crowd pleaser. Okay, you will need 2 bags of nachos. Now, whenever I buy nachos, I always stick them into the microwave. I prick them, make a hole, stick them into the microwave for about 3 to 4 minutes to really crisp them up. 2 tins, I would say, of tuna, a bottle of chunky mild salsa, a cup of cheddar cheese, a cup of mozzarella cheese, all grated, the cheeses must be grated, 2 avocado pears, a lemon, a teaspoon of salt, 1 red onion finely diced, 2 tomatoes diced, sour cream, 250 ml of sour cream, 2 jalapeno chilies, you can use the fresh ones or the ones in the jar, sliced, and so you'll need some fresh coriander. If you don't like coriander, then some parsley to garnish. Now, straight after the ad break, I'm going to tell you how to get this fully loaded sheet pan of tuna nachos into your oven.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and we are talking about fully loaded sheet pan tuna nachos. So I gave you the ingredients before, and a tip always to put your bags of nachos into the microwave. It really crisps them up. Even though you're going to put it in the oven, it just does something extra to them. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to spread the nachos out onto a sheet pan. We're going to chop that with the top that with the shredded tuna, and we're going to put dollops of salsa and grated cheeses all over, and we're going to place it under the griller. Okay, so it's in the middle. Place it for about 5-10 minutes until the cheese starts to melt, and in a medium bowl mash together the avocados, the juice from the half a lemon, and salt, and you just set that aside. Top the nachos with the diced onion and tomato, dollops of sour cream, and the guacamole. And garnish with the sliced jalapeno, which is spelt with a J, J-A-L-A-P-E-N-O slices. And put some coriander on top. Coriander is a must. I mean, this is a real Mexican dish. We've got to have coriander in it. And squeeze the other half of the lemon over the nachos and serve with extra salsa, and just let everybody tuck into this delicious dish. Now, of course, you can add some mushrooms, you can add some peppers, you can add whatever, as I say, you have a mouth for. But I kept that one milky. It sounds like I'm having a real seaside holiday, because my next recipe is easy caprese fish foil pack. They did it with chicken. I'm doing it with fish, for obvious reasons, because we're using tomatoes, and I'll be using mozzarella, and it's a caprese fish dish. But I'm just going to answer a quick question here. Karen, will this work? She wants to know if she puts chicken, veggies, and rice in one pot. Please tell me how I can do it, because I want to do it for Shabbos. You won't believe it. I did this 2 weeks ago. And what I did was I put the rice into my cholent pot, and it somehow goes quite crispy, the rice. You can almost like turn it over out of your cholent pot. But there is some soft rice. There's a name for it, and I've forgotten, because my cousin is married to an Iranian Gar, and they make it quite often. So what you do is you put the, you can use whichever vegetables you want, the Mediterranean vegetables, into the cholin pot. And I used just a braai pack of chicken. I browned it because, you know, cholin pots don't brown your chicken. So just fry it on very high heat until it gets nice and brown. Remove it from the pan because you don't want to overcook the chicken because it tends to get a bit too mushy if you're going to eat it for lunch the next day. If you're not, okay, then it's then fair enough. Then you can fry it until it's nice and brown. Then I put 1 cup of rice, raw rice, 1 cup of water. I put the chicken in. I added another cup of water to where I'd been frying the chicken, took off all those lovely brown caramelized bits, put that on top. I added a chicken cube or two, and I added the curried, inner parmen curried tikka. I think it was a curried, curried tikka, little bit of peri-peri, and then I covered it again with 1/2 cup of raw rice and some water. But now make sure that the water level is not too high, because remember, you put quite a bit of water in, although the rice is going to absorb quite a bit of that water, and this is just for one chicken. It's nice to have that brown at the bottom. It actually gives it quite a lovely taste. So it's as simple as that. I mean, you can also use the regular vegetable, the creamy curried sauce from Ina Palmer. That's also delicious. But make sure you get the Parav one, not the Milchik one, because I think there are two of those. But as I say, if you want to make it with more, you know, more peri-peri-ish, then you just add a little bit more peri-peri, whatever your family enjoy. So back to the easy caprese fish foil pack. So you cut tin foil into 2 squares. Oh, by the way, sorry, just to go back to you, Karen, I left my chicken overnight on low and ate it for lunch the next morning. You can make it in the morning and leave it sort of on medium if you want to serve it that night. Okay, back to the easy caprese fish foil pack, which you just have to chop, wrap and bake, and dinner has never been easier. It's super healthy and it's delicious too. So we cut our tin foil into 2 squares, each measuring 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters. And then what you do is you get, let me give you the ingredients first, sorry, 1 side of hake. So I think it's about 500 grams. If you have more people, obviously you will need more fish and you'll have to double up, but that's easy enough. You can do it with salmon, but keep the skin on. So you'll need one, either a side of hake, or you'll need a butterfly hake if you want to. Salmon, whatever fish you like. But remember, you're going to have to slice it into 4 sections. So it should be quite a thick piece of fish. Salt and fish, freshly ground pepper. Black pepper to taste. 2 tablespoons of basil pesto, which is easily available. I think Fresh Fellas have got, they've definitely got. 1 pack or sliced mozzarella. You'll need about, I would say about 250 grams. You need to put mozzarella between each slice, as I'll explain to you later. So get a little bit more rather than less. 2 tomatoes, which you're going to slice up. 1 cup of green beans. 1 cup of cherry tomatoes. I like to use the sliced beans, sliced already. 1 cup cherry tomatoes, halved. 2 tablespoons of olive oil and about 1/2 cup of basil leaves, just to garnish it and sort of make it nice and Italian and caprese. So we've cut our foil into 2 squares, measuring about 30 by 30. And then you score the top of the fish about 4 or 5 times, slicing through to the bottom, but not all the way through. And then you season the fish with some salt and some pepper, and you fill each cut with a dollop of pesto, a slice of mozzarella, and a slice of tomato. Now, you obviously, if you can't get mozzarella, you can use another kind of cheese. And then you place the fish into the center of the foil, into the center of the tin foil, a square, over the half a cup of green beans and half a cup of cherry tomatoes, and you top and drizzle with the olive oil. And you fold the sides of the foil over the fish, covering it completely and sealing the packet off. Place it into the oven at 180 and until it's completely cooked through, which should be about 15, 20 minutes. And you serve it immediately with some basil. So I hope you enjoyed that Italian version of fish today.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Well, it seems, welcome back, sorry, to the SN Fresen Show. It seems that we are running out of time, and this has been, I wanted to share some lovely peri-peri chicken liver bread bowls with you. So, basically what you do is you make up your favorite, chicken liver peri-peri recipe, which you can get, in Cooking with the Kosh Butcher's Wife in the first book. And then what they've done in this book, and I mean, there are just so many, you're going to have to go out and buy this book because there are so many wonderful recipes. What they did was they cut a circle out of the top of a bread loaf. Okay. So the bread loaf, you know, it's one of those round loaves, you know, that looks like the rye, but it isn't. And you can get the, it's more like an artisanal loaf, if I'm looking at the picture correctly. Cut the top off the bread, and using a spoon, you scoop out some of the bread to create enough space in the bread bowl for the chicken liver filling. And then you set aside the bread that you removed, and you paint the bread loaf inside and out with garlic, herb, oil, or cardamom, and bake it in the oven on 180 for about 10 to 15 minutes until the bread bowl is beautifully toasted and it's lovely and crisp. And then you fill it with your lovely creamy chicken livers, and you sprinkle with fresh parsley, and everybody can tuck in, and you can use the rest of the bread that you haven't used to dunk and slurp up all that delicious sauce. Now, because it's Chanukah, I thought I'd share this quickly with you. I think I've got a few more minutes. Just a lovely idea that I got from this book, and it's called a chocolate stuffed donut tower. Now, how appropriate. You get little donuts, miniature donuts, and you just build like a little tower. So you start off with about six at the bottom, and then reduce it to four, to three, to two, to one, little donut on top. And then you mix it. Now, this is my concoction, so maybe they'll put it in their next book. What you do is you mix it with a little bit of mixed cream and a slab of milk chocolate or your favorite chocolate or some peppermint crisp, peppy crisp chocolate. The Beacon one is one that I love. And you take, so you'll need about a slab, about 200 grams with about half a cup of milk, of cream, sorry. And you just melt it in the microwave or over a double boiler, and you just pour it over all these gorgeous little mini donuts. And that's just a nice, after dinner snack, after your latkes. Now, I did share a couple of recipes with latkes, and phew, the internet is full of lovely recipes. But just a quick, have I got 2 minutes? Let me just share 135 best ever brownies, okay, because they really were superb brownies. And you'll need one bowl, three steps, and five ingredients. The best brownies ever. You need a cup of butter. Now, I'm sorry, I couldn't keep this pyro up because it's, the butter was just so delicious. Really need butter. Half a cup of Nestle of the cocoa powder, 2.5 cups of caster sugar, 4 large eggs, 1 cup of cake flour sifted. Okay. And then what you do is you heat the oven to 180 and line a 20 centimeter square baking dish with baking paper, and you combine the butter and the cocoa in a heat proof bowl and melt in the microwave in 15 second intervals. Okay, mine took about not even a minute to do. Then you add the caster sugar and the eggs, and you beat with an electric beater until it's all well combined and gently fold in flour. Pour the batter in a lined baking dish and bake for 20 to 25 minutes. Cut into squares, and you serve it with ice cream or cream or chocolate sauce. Or I saw the most wonderful thing. They took a Magnum, it's Magnum kosher. I don't really eat that much ice cream. They actually put it in the middle of the brownies. So you got this beautiful melted, the miniature ones, ice creams in the brownies. And, so it was all saucy and ice creamy and velvety and delicious, delicious brownies. So, okay, it's time to wrap up. I'm getting the nod. So have a wonderful few days off, and I shall see you in the new year. Remember, it's the eat and meet that makes the show complete. But I think I did the show more for Alan Finkelstein. Hey? I did so many cheesy things for you, Alan. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Bye.